It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. You can always listen to this show on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker at home, at work, wherever, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. You don't even have to lift a finger. This show, it gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. If you're just locking in, you're just listening, where you been? You can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app, and we got you locked in. This portion of the show is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading Blue Link Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone to control your Tucson. In about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have a conversation with Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. Take a look at the NFL calendar, what we need to look out for, who should we look out for, what we need to avoid. Yeah, Matt Verderam has the answers, and we'll talk to him in about 20 minutes. In the first hour of the show, and as I'll say it again, where were you? We talked about the teams that have the most primetime games, the Cowboys, the Jets, the Niners. We talked about the team that has zero, the Carolina Panthers. Sorry. We showed love to the Dallas Mavericks for being one step away from eliminating the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then we talked about the Boston Celtics knocking off the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, of course, it took all of, 5 minutes from the Cavs to be eliminated before we got an entire article about how dysfunctional they are. Jared Allen, their injured center, team was disappointed. He didn't want to take a needle to the ribs to at least try to numb and manage the pain. Donovan Mitchell thinks his teammates don't want to win. Donovan Mitchell is eligible for a contract extension. Is he going to want to stay? Is he going to want to go? J.B. Bickerstaff, the head coach of the Cavaliers, the coach who's led them to the most success since the LeBron James era, he still might get the boot. Oh, you got to love dysfunction, right? Hey, but how about this? In about an hour from now, a little more than that, the Denver Nuggets are in Minnesota to take on the Timberwolves. The Denver Nuggets have an opportunity to eliminate the Timberwolves. And then we got to wait a little while to see who the Celtics will take on in the Eastern Conference Finals. The New York Knicks, they have a chance and they have an opportunity to eliminate the Pacers tomorrow. If not, it'll be a Game 7 on Sunday. So, look, the Boston Celtics, they have some time to rest. And let's be real. The Boston Celtics, anything besides an appearance in the finals is just going to be a massive disappointment. Anyway, before we get Matt Verderam on, I want to let you know the phone number here. It's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I am at JR Sport Brief. Before we went to break, we talked about contracts. We talked about contracts a few seconds ago. Donovan Mitchell can earn a 4-year, $200 million contract extension with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, whether or not he wants that, we'll see. Does he want to go to the Lakers and play with LeBron? Does he want to stay in Cleveland and have his own team? Hell, does he want to go back home and, dare I say, attempt to play in Brooklyn? Because at this point, I don't think the New York Knicks need him. They got their own guy in Jalen Brunson, and I think they are doing just fine. That's something for Donovan Mitchell to figure out. 2 days ago, we learned that Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions, he got himself a brand new contract. He played himself into a brand new contract by helping to lead the Detroit Lions to the NFC Championship game. Jared Goff last season went out there and threw for 4,500 yards and 30 TDs, only 12 interceptions. They went to the NFC Championship game. Maybe they could have won if Dan Campbell knew what a field goal was. But this was the best case scenario for the Lions, that you trade for Jared Goff, and then you can now have sustained success. The Lions were one of the best offensive teams in the NFL last year, fifth in scoring. still sounds dirty to say for the Detroit Lions because I don't expect not a damn thing from them. And so Jared Goff spoke today. The Lions fans who have basically been in the abyss for what, the past 30 years, longer than that, they appreciate this man. And he appreciates them back. He says, man, Detroit, me, California guy, it feels oh so good to be in Detroit for the next bunch of years.
This city just means so much to me now and will hold a special place in my heart forever. The reward of the contract and like the success we've been able to have has been awesome, but the journey itself of these past 3 years has been the true success. And being able to go through that together with my teammates and with my family and go through the dark times and grow through those times and learn more about yourself and work on yourself. That's the win in all of this. And I'm happy to be able to stand in front of you and be your quarterback for a lot longer. But this city's meant a lot to me.
Man, all we needed was Dan Campbell just to give him a big old bear hug at the end and scream about how much they love him and how much they want him and are happy to have him in Detroit. Now, Jared Goff continued on at his press conference, and he had a very simple point to make. He says, the only thing I'm here to do is win the big one.
I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to leave a legacy, and I have a lot of personal goals, but I think most importantly it is hosting that Lombardi.
Okay. That's what everybody wants, huh? Right? That's what everybody says at any point. I mean, we got guys, I'm not going to put too much stock into that, and I get it. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl. He's been to an NFC Championship game. He's on his big contract. He just got a contract extension. He's the second highest paid quarterback on an annual basis in the entire NFL. I get it. But everybody says that. Even rookies coming into the NFL say that. People say any and everything for favor. He's further along, and I mean, damn it, yeah, the Lions were close to the Super Bowl, but what else is he going to say? It's going to be tough for the Lions. Things aren't getting any easier in the NFC North. You would think that Aaron Rodgers exiting into the AFC East and the New York Jets, that things would be a little easier, but no. The Packers got themselves Jordan Love. This is a team that went into the playoffs last year. And, well, they knocked off some Cowboys. Caleb Williams is in a division now with the Bears. Hate to tie everything back to Aaron Rodgers. He just beat everybody up in the AFC North for so long. Come on, the man would do the discount double check. Aaron Rodgers reminded everybody how much he owned the Bears. Well, now the Bears with Caleb Williams, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think the Bears have a legitimate chance and an opportunity to turn things around, not just for this season, but into the future. I think the Bears are getting better. The Packers have obviously gotten better. And it doesn't stop there. Do I know what's going to happen with the other team? Do I know what the Vikings are going to do post Kirk Cousins? No, I don't. But I'll tell you this much. I don't think they're going to be crap. They're going to be competitive. It's not going to be no cakewalk for the Lions. They got to get that defense together. But at least with Jared Goff in the fold, you got what a lot of teams want. What a lot of teams in the NFL, the draft just went for. And that's a quarterback. I mean, everybody wants a quarterback so damn much, the Falcons decided to get two potential starters in the same offseason so they could add controversy to their building. Don't be the Falcons. Congratulations to Jared Goff, second highest paid QB in the game on an annual basis. $53 million behind Joe Burrow's 55. I'm happy to see the Lions fans happy. What the hell have they been happy about? The Lions, for the most part, for the country, the Detroit Lions have been a Thanksgiving joke. It's like, oh, the parade is over, and here's a pregame, and let's see who the Lions are going to embarrass themselves against on Thanksgiving. And now, what is a great showing? They're going to take on the Bears on Thanksgiving. That should be a lot of fun. America can watch Caleb Williams. This might be the first time that a lot of America sits down and watches Caleb Williams. That'll be a great showing on Thanksgiving. Congratulations to the Lions and congratulations to Jared Goff. On the reverse, this sucks. I'm sure you heard that some guy named Tom Brady is going to be broadcasting later this year. I'm sure you heard that Tom Brady joined Fox and he will be making $35 million a season to be their lead analyst. I'm sure you heard that that's going to start this year. What he's going to do as a part of this process is remove the man who's been the number one analyst basically since he retired from the NFL. I mean, he was doing games as he was retiring. His name is Greg Olsen. Yeah, that big old tight end that you primarily remember from the Carolina Panthers. He did a good job. He didn't overanalyze. He wasn't one of these guys that just talk you to death. He made things simple. He didn't sound like the smartest guy in the room. It's like, hey, yeah, Greg Olsen played football. We know it. He didn't belittle us. He didn't talk down. He didn't overtalk. He was great. And now he's demoted. And this day was always going to come. Tom Brady decided to take a gap year to hang out with his family, to be insulted on a roast on Netflix, to be upset, to be mad about it. And I guess now he's preparing for his job. Tom Brady said, yeah, they offered me $375 million for the next 10 years. It was a no-brainer for me to take the money. Well, Tom Brady is going to make more money. And Greg Olsen, we've learned that obviously he's taking a pay cut. He is now on the number two announced team for Fox. Greg Olsen will now be working with Joe Davis. And it's been reported, and I know cry me a river, instead of making $10 million a year, he's now going to make three. Now, that's a difference. I'd still take the three. I take half of that. I take half of that. But the fact is, that's a steep cut for Tom Brady to come in, and we don't know if Tom Brady is even going to be good. We don't know. To be honest, 10 years of this, do I think Tom Brady is going to be a Fox announcer for 10 years? I don't think so. At least Greg Olsen is showing some grace as he's been given the boot. I mean, back in January, he spoke to Dan Patrick and he said, look, I am willing to be demoted because I'm a team player.
I'm not really in the business of making demands. You know, I'm not sitting here holding anyone's feet to the fire. Fox understands the position I'm in. They understand what my aspirations are. And, you know, we're not sitting there banging the table and saying, you have to let us, you know, we're not in that. We're not doing that. You know, we understand what we signed up for. They understand where I am and being at this stage of my career of where I want to go. And I think we understand the delicate situation that we're in, right? I understand when Tom Brady's looming over your shoulder, it's the biggest news in sports. I get it. He's Tom Brady. He's someone I've respected for, 20 years. So I understand the uniqueness of what's going on, and I feel like we've handled it as well as we could for the last 2 years. And if I can get another opportunity to call top games at Fox or somewhere else, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Oh, I don't know about somewhere. Oh, well, Netflix, right? Amazon got its own crew. And I told you, folks, I'm not one for analysts. Most times I got the games on with no sound. I've listened to him. I found him to be good. Nobody has any idea if Tom Brady's going to be good because we have never heard the man in a broadcast booth. Tom Brady will be with Kevin Burkhardt. I think he'll be okay. Hickey, he'll be fine, right? As long as he's not trying to tell jokes, I think he'll be perfectly fine.
I hope so. I mean, Fox better hope so. I think he'll be good. But, I mean, it's also tough to, like, it's so different than anything he's done. It's really tough to tell until he gets in there. I mean, watch week one.
Here's a better question. I don't think he's lasting 10 seasons. You think this man is going to do this for 10 years?
No, I'm with you. I think he'll go in a different direction, getting himself involved in different ventures. I'm with you. So what is that, 2034? I would be beyond floored if he's still calling games by then.
He's going to be pushing 60. I don't see it. Greg Olsen is 39 years old. He just retired from the NFL. His last season was in 2020, the COVID year. If I'm Greg Olsen, I'm sitting it out for a few seasons. Well, not sitting it out, but I'm just relaxing. I'm buying time. Because when Tom Brady is gone, so I don't know, find a new Brazilian wife or invest in a new crypto, Greg Olsen can move from his $3-4 million and he can get back to 10. Good luck to Greg Olsen. Tom Brady doesn't need the luck of the help. He might do this for 1 year and say, I'm out. I'm good. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We come back from break. We're going to dive deeper into the NFL this upcoming season as well as its schedule. It's time to have a conversation with Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in and locked in, coast to coast and across oceans as well. Right now, it's time to have a conversation about the NFL. They decided to release their schedule after drips and drabs all week, I should say. International games, night games, Christmas games. I think the NFL might add a day to the calendar just to have it be NFL Day. To talk about what we learned yesterday and what we might see later on this year, it's time to have a conversation with NFL staff writer. Covers everything football for SI. It is Matt Verderam. Matt, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. The schedule is out. We know every single game. What are you looking forward to the most, my man?
You know, I think really just – you know, for week one in particular, I think that the opening two games, they're awesome. I mean, Baltimore, Kansas City, you get the AFC title game preview, potentially, but also the rematch. So you might learn quite a bit in that game, even though it's early. And then you have the Eagles and the Packers, which I think is really, frankly, like I think the Ravens and Chiefs is the better game. The Eagles and Packers, you might learn a little bit more. Like, Philadelphia fell apart last year. Is that who they are, or are they the team that started out 10-1? The Packers. You know, they're a team that snuck into the playoffs, and then once they got there, it looked like a team that could go to the Super Bowl. Do they continue that momentum? But I think overall, I'm very, very interested to see how the Jets handle what I think is a very, very challenging start to the year. I mean, you have the first 11 games that they have, all before they're the Week 12 bye, seven of them are in primetime. And they've got to go all the way to San Francisco. Then they, on a short week, go out to Tennessee. Then a couple weeks later, go out to England. Come back. No bye. Play Buffalo on a Monday night. They have their work cut out for them. I'm very curious with a lot of older players, guys coming off injury like Aaron Rodgers, what do the Jets look like early in the season with all those challenges ahead of them?
Yeah, the New York Jets, they tied with the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers. They have six primetime games. When you think about the schedule, and you got teams that are out here playing on Sunday and then on Thursday, and then they bounce around, and we even got a Friday game in Brazil. Did the NFL take into account any of this at all? They just said, hey, go out there and play. We need the money.
Oh, I'll give the NFL one thing. I think the whole idea of player safety, they're not even pretending to care. At this point, it's just, hey, look, we're taking as much money as we can stuff in our pockets. And if a 20 falls out on the way down Broadway, go ahead and grab it. I mean, I think that's pretty much where they are with this. I mean, the Chiefs play every single day of the week except for Tuesday. I'm shocked the NFL didn't figure out a way to get them to play on Tuesday. But, you know, they're playing Saturday against Houston, Wednesday on Christmas against the Steelers, Black Friday. I think what is happening and what is, you know, pretty obvious, the NFL is just going to go for as many packages as humanly possible. And if they can strike a deal with you and you've got enough money, like you're, you know, Netflix or a Peacock or whoever, they're going to take your money. Where I do think that becomes a tipping point is not so much with the fans. Like, fans may gripe about it, they're going to watch all the games. It is with CBS and Fox, because those are the networks that are paying the most money for these huge chunks of games every Sunday. And you sit there and you look at these Sunday slates, especially the 1 o'clock games, and a lot of the weeks, they're not good. I mean, there's a bunch of bad games with really unappealing markets. because all the really good games are being given to Amazon Prime and NBC Sunday Night Football and ESPN on Monday night, and then all these other little subset packages. And I think that's where Goodell has to really be careful.
Matt Verderam is here with us from Sports Illustrated. Are you saying in the future, Matt, and when I say future, I'm talking about, I don't know, 15 or so years, are we looking at a world where the NFL is just like, we're going streaming like everybody else? Hey, CBS and Fox, buy, or here, take this, or don't take nothing at all?
I don't know that that happens. What I do think is going to happen is there's going to come a point, maybe it's the next negotiation, maybe it's the one after that, where CBS and Fox say, hey, look, we're getting screwed. Because these 1 o'clock games, like, yeah, we're sick and tired of having Indianapolis play Tennessee. Like, we need Dallas. We need Kansas City. We need San Francisco, obviously, you know, in the later window, unless they're on the East Coast. But, like, that's the problem. And a lot of these times, I mean, you have one game on Sunday in that 425 slot that you can kind of hang your hat on, you know, Dallas and Philly, Kansas City and Buffalo, whatever, you know, Cincinnati, Baltimore, whatever it is. But there's so many weeks where the 1 o'clock kicks are just unappealing. And you got to kind of go, all right, yeah, I guess Steelers, Chargers, it's okay. But there's not a lot of big time games. Now, part of that is also, to be fair, the Giants, have, you know, they would be a really attractive team, but they're not good. You know, the Bears are getting there. You would think they might be good this year, so that would be a helpful market for Fox. But I do think at some juncture here, you know, the executives are going to sit across the table from the NFL at CBS and Fox and say, hey, look, like we're not paying billions of dollars to get stuck with the Falcons and the Bucks at 1 o'clock. Like, you need to do better than that. And that's where the NFL is stretching themselves so thin with all these different patches. I think that is the one concern they might have.
Yeah, Matt Verderam is here with us from Sports Illustrated. You talk about how the schedule is changing. The NFL is taking advantage of pretty much every day of the week. When you look at how the NFL is reaching out in an international space, additional games out in Germany, we have our first game in Brazil, in Sao Paulo, on the second day of the actual season. What might we see next?
You know, that is really the great question that I think the NFL is pondering and trying to figure out. Because, well, clearly at this point, the international expansion, if you will, is not just a toe in the water. I mean, they are trying to figure out which markets work best, how they can package all this stuff. You know, you've got Germany had the Dolphins and Chiefs last year. It was a great game. It was a great atmosphere. This year they're getting the Panthers and the Giants. If they show up for that game, Germany deserves its own league. But, I do think, do you have a scenario where maybe you don't put a team over there, but you say, hey, look, we're going to put 8 games a year in England, and we're going to put 8 games a year in Germany, and every team's going to play one international game, and we're going to sell that like season tickets where, hey, you're going to see, if you're in London, you're getting 8 games. And if you're in Munich, you're getting 8 games. Like, I think that might be something that they look into. I think it gets hard. Like, Brazil's interesting, but, you know, it's so far from Europe and where they've gone to this point. I mean, obviously, they've played some games in the past in Mexico. They had the Bills testing out the waters in Toronto years ago. That is easier because that's just right on the continent. You can do that. I think if you're going to go over to Europe or even to South America, you almost have to develop where I think you can't really put a team there, but you could maybe do it where you could sell packages of games.
Hey, that actually makes more sense than anything I've heard over the past 30 years. Oh, we're going to put a team in Europe. The same thing with the NBA. How? It makes
how?
No sense.
Yeah. None. And it's just so difficult, too, because, you know, look, the travel's the obvious thing. But you're going to have kids come out of college go, I'm not going to play in England. Like, I'm not moving. I'm just not going to do it. Like, you're going to have kids who are just going to be like, no. And even if you can get a kid to go over there, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. Like, I'm a big hockey fan, and I can tell you, you know, when the Canadian dollar is not strong, that's a problem. Because you have guys who are like, look, I'm getting paid in Canadian money, but the salary cap is by U.S. dollars. So, like, How do you factor that in? Like, that was a huge problem 20 years ago or so in the NHL. So, like, what happens if the euro is way different than the American dollar? And on top of that, like, how do you, you know, with the NFL and the way they play, how do you do travel? Do you do it a month at a time? Are teams from England going to be in, you know, on the West Coast for a month? Like, I think it's a very, very, very difficult chore to figure out.
Matt Verderim here with us from Sports Illustrated. When you think about the schedule, and we know the Jags are going to be out there for 2 weeks, but when you think about the overall schedule, is there a team that has it the best in regards to strength of schedule? Is there a team that you see that has it, let's see, easiest? I know you mentioned the Jets having a rough time. Any other teams that have to run through a gauntlet?
As far as the best, I mean, look, you're always going to have these teams that play last-place schedules. I mean, the Chargers have that advantage this year. That'll help them kind of get the Jim Harbaugh era off the ground. I would argue the Bengals. Like, I think the Bengals, if they stay healthy, are going to have a very good season because they have a last-place schedule, and they're loaded. I mean, that team, they're not perfect. They've got issues on defense, and the offensive line's always a question. But come on. I mean, they've got Burrow, Higgins, Chase, good coaching staff. They're going to win games if they're healthy. So I would point to some of these teams that finished in last a year ago. The Bears are another one. The Bears' schedule, now the division's not easy, but the schedule overall is not that hard. So you could point to the Bears and say, okay, maybe they're a team that, you know, every year we see that worst to first. I would pick Cincinnati to be that team, but, you know, Chicago's in the mix. I don't think the Chargers can finish first. Maybe they can be a wild card team. I look at the back end of the Steelers' schedule. I got to tell you, that might be the hardest eight-game stretch I've ever seen in the NFL schedule. I mean, their schedule, the last eight games of the season, involves all six games in the division. It involves three short weeks, which those weeks are at Cleveland on a Thursday night, at Baltimore on a Saturday, and then, oh, by the way, you get to come home on 4 days rest and play the Chiefs on Christmas. And the other game is at Philly. So 8 weeks to end the year when you're beat up, you've got all six AFC North games, which are always physical games. You've got the Chiefs on Christmas, and you're going to Philadelphia. I mean, that – and there's no bye, by the way. Like, their bye comes before that. So you're looking at a stretch where if you're Pittsburgh, you've almost just got to pray that you can go somehow go 4-4, maybe like split your divisional games and find some way to beat the Eagles or the Chiefs, but – you're probably going to have to be really good your first nine games. You're probably going to have to go 7-2 to try to win 10 games overall, get in the playoffs. I mean, that is a lot. That is a very, very demanding, difficult last half of the year for the Steelers.
Hey, maybe the NFL is sick of Tomlin's, under 500, never under 500 winning streak. Maybe they're also sick of Russell Wilson. So, hey, that could be it.
I'll tell you, I mean, if Tomlin... If they thrive in the last half of that season, Tomlin deserves Coach of the Year because that is brutal. I mean, you're talking about all these teams, at least theoretically, are going to be competing for the playoffs. I mean, you'd expect the Chiefs to be toward the top of the standings. You've got the Bengals and the Ravens for four of those games. You've got the Eagles and then the Browns twice, who made the playoffs a year ago. And you know, you're talking about three of the top three defenses last year for five of those games. It is... that's going to be a gauntlet. If they go 500, I'd give them all the credit in the world because I don't know too many teams that would go 500 or better against that eight-game stretch.
Yeah, let's see if Justin Fields has a great view of it. Hey, Matt, where can people follow you and all of your amazing work with Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, thanks. You can follow me on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. You can follow my articles either just there when I'm tweeting them out, or you can go to SI.com, check out my work along with my colleagues there. We have everything under the sun breaking down the schedule, so you can check that out. And then we'll be headed to OTAs and mini camps and the rookie premiere and everything else over the coming months. So there will be plenty of content. And also check out the MMQB podcast wherever you find the podcast.
Hey, Matt, enjoy whatever it is of an offseason that the NFL has presented to us, and I'm sure we'll be chatting it up down the line. Appreciate you.
No problem, man. Anytime.
That Matt Verderam, NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated. Yeah, man, the Steelers, after their bye week, the Steelers, Washington, okay, fine, whatever. But here we go. Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. That is how the Steelers end their season. The Steelers begin their season here in Atlanta, at Denver, against the Chargers, the Colts, the Cowboys, Las Vegas, the Jets, and the Giants. Yeah, they're gonna have to start hot. This might be the first losing season of Mike Tomlin's career. And I get it. Nobody's going to come out and say it publicly because nobody wants to be a punk. When Mike Tomlin saw that schedule, I know he said, well, damn. I know he did. And for Russell Wilson, if I'm Russell Wilson, I know he battened up his hatches and pulled up his pants and, you know, flexed or something like that. But I know even Russell Wilson had to go, well, crap, man. I'm going to be on another team next year if they start beating me up at the end of the year. Yeah, the Steelers got it rough. Thank you so much to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated for joining us. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back from break, NFL schedule is crazy. But for all my college football fans, we didn't just get a schedule. We got a cover. If you're a fan of video games, college football, then this is a great combination for you. I'm going to fill you in on what EA Sports is cooking up on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Matt Verderam, NFL staff writer from Sports Illustrated, for joining us in the last break to discuss the NFL schedule. If you missed it, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. But it's good to be here with you live. I appreciate you. It was a great conversation. Told us about how terrible, how awful the Steelers' schedule is to pretty much end and conclude the regular season. They're taking on every team in their division, and then also just go ahead, throw the Eagles in there too for good measure. Yeah, throw the Chiefs in there for good measure. The Steelers fans are tough, man. They're going to have to, there's no amount of towels that they can wave that's going to help them out. None. Russell Wilson is going to have a throwback. They may have to combine Russell Wilson and Justin Fields into one quarterback if they want to have some success on the back end. I'd be real interested to see. I am real interested to see, you know, how they conclude this season. Speaking of this season, we know the college football season gets started a little earlier. And how about this? EA Sports College Football 25. It's back. Well, specifically this version. You'll be able to play it starting on July 19th. But EA Sports decided to let us all know who's going to be on the front cover. We have Donovan Edwards from Michigan. We have Travis Hunter from Colorado. And we have Quinn Ewers from Texas. The man who is, he's finally going to have to go into the NFL draft next year. And must I remind you, the game is back because the players, they now get paid. Every player had to opt in to participating in the game so they can go out here and make some cash. And someone who's happy about that is Quinn Ewers, who happens to be, quote unquote, one of the cover boys. Quinn Ewers said, man, I'm on the cover of a video game? That's what he told Texas Football.
It's kind of hard to put in words because obviously I grew up in an era of playing this game. It was, you know, big for my age group. These guys are just as pumped up as I am. So really cool experience.
Yeah, good for them. Whatever. So we had a bunch of players who decided to opt in to the video game. And Hickey, you said this was a fun game when it was out years ago, right?
Oh, my favorite. By far my favorite video game I've ever played.
Ever?
Ever.
Favorite, any, even outside of sports?
I love GTA, than GTA.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
Now, help me out. I have never played Grand Theft Auto. The idea...
Really?
No.
Oh, you're missing out.
I'm more of a Super Mario guy.
Okay.
The idea of Grand Theft Auto, correct me if I'm wrong, is to be a criminal.
Oh, that's the whole motive. Oh, yeah. Oh. That's the entire premise. I guess if you wanted to, you could be a good guy, I guess, in theory. But stealing cars, getting guns,
whoa,
you know, do whatever, you know, anything, whoa, and everything in between there. Yeah, okay. It's basically The Purge in a video game.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but okay.
Never seen the movie The Purge?
You never saw Die Hard. Okay?
Touche.
Right? Okay. Now, so when did the Purge come out? 2017?
No, that was like probably 2010, if I had a ballpark. No. I mean, there's like three of them that have come out.
No. I think I've heard of it. I don't know what the hell it is. No idea. But I've seen Grand Theft Auto. Thank you for verifying that there's no use in me playing it. If I want to see all of that, I could just walk outside, right?
That's true. Kids at home, don't play Grand Theft Auto. It's not real life.
Yeah, just go outside. Well, don't do Grand Theft Auto. I think we have a problem. So, for instance, Rasheed Rice, he took Grand Theft Auto literally, right?
Exactly right. Don't do that, kids. Only in the video game.
Only in the video game. Now I remember why the video games have ratings. What is Grand Theft Auto rated? Mature?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yep. So what does that mean? A 16-year-old can't download it at home?
I don't know how that works.
Oh.
You know, I stopped playing video games since like it's gone electronic, where you don't have to go to the actual store to get the disc anymore. I don't know how you verify age.
GameStop. GameStop, is that still a physical store?
Has to be. No, right? But I think the stock is still booming, or maybe not. Maybe it was, but
I'm going to Google my local GameStop and see if it exists.
I'd be shocked.
Hey, well what makes EA Sports College Football so good?
I think it's more because like you can build your own player.
Okay.
And you can basically build your own career. And so like you can get recruited, you know, you can be a coach as well and do the recruiting, and you can take, you know, Akron and lead them to a national title and beat Alabama and Georgia alike. Like,
be nice.
I think the road and like taking either a no-name player as yourself or a no-name university and like building it up to be this dominant program, I think that's the appeal, because you really can't do that in Madden. You can't really do that in any other sport. I think that's probably the biggest appeal for a lot of people.
Wasn't there a point where you could port over your college player into Madden?
I think you're right.
Am I making that up?
I can't 100% say. I feel like, though, that sounds right.
Yeah, I like Madden, but there came a point in time where it's just like, I got bills to pay. Like, if I had it my way, I think I'd be sitting around all day, but I don't have time. I don't. Like, I enjoyed NBA Jam. I liked the early 2K. I tried playing 2K in the pandemic because I had a little bit more time like the rest of the world, and it was too complicated. Like, I'm trying to shoot free throws, and I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, I'm not playing this game. So I'm like, forget it. But yeah, I couldn't tell you. I haven't played Madden in forever. I haven't played 2K in forever. I've never picked up college football. I see that every player that's participating, because of all the new NIL deals, they're going to make a minimum of $600. I am going to assume that, I don't know, Donovan Edwards and Travis Hunter and Quinn Ewers, I think they're going to make a little bit more than that. That has not been disclosed. I haven't found it yet. I don't think it's public. Hickey, what do you think? They're making a couple hundred for the cover, maybe half?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
What are they making, like 250 for the cover? 300?
I hope, at least.
Have to. I mean, if every player that signs up to be in the game is getting $600. So Joe Schmo in the game, who sits on the bench and doesn't play, opts in and he makes $600. EA Sports has said more than 10,000 college football players have opted into the game. And so if I'm Travis Hunter or Quinn Ewers, Donovan Edwards, I got to be making a few hundred. I don't think they're getting a mil, or maybe they are. It depends on how much promotion they're going to do around the game. The game, again, if you're interested, releases July 19th. We haven't seen this game in what, Hickey, about a decade because of all this NIL stuff?
I think 2014 was the last year that it was that it was out there. So it's been, I think just about a decade. Too long.
So here's the question. You're a busy guy. Are you going to get this game now that it's coming out?
100%. I don't even have a gaming console. I'm going to buy one just to play this game only.
What, PlayStation or Xbox?
Probably PlayStation. I'm trying to do my research on that. I think some of my friends have PlayStation. But
all right. So you're going to play, you can play online at that point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I quit playing online, like, I don't know, the first time it was available.
You didn't want 5-year-olds yelling at you?
No, it wasn't no 5-year-old yelling at me. This was before the headsets, I think. I was playing. I did like Tekken, the fighting game. And matter of fact, it didn't matter which one. Mario Kart, you play Mario Kart, and somebody from Japan waxed me, okay? And then they sent me an email, a video game email afterwards, let me know how bad I was.
Was it in Japanese?
Oh, this person was from Japan. It was in English.
Oh, okay. That would be it's funnier.
It's like, it's like laughing emojis. And I'm like, yo, I'm not doing this. I'm not playing this video game. The people who created the game are from Japan. They whooped my ass. I'm not doing that hickey no more. I'll stay away from the online gaming. But you're right. Now a five-year-old can curse you out from across the street. No thanks.
Smart.
I'll stick to talking about real sports and the business of it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of the business of sports, oh, man, we learned yesterday that the Jacksonville Jaguars are receiving a ridiculous amount of public financing just to renovate their rat trap of a stadium. The Jacksonville Jaguars, for the past several years, they've been teasing the world with London. We can do better with the tax money, I think. We'll talk about that and the decision of the NFL to go international. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Matt Verderam, NFL staff writer from Sports Illustrated, for joining us in the last break to discuss the NFL schedule. If you missed it, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. But it's good to be here with you live. I appreciate you. It was a great conversation. Told us about how terrible, how awful the Steelers' schedule is to pretty much end and conclude the regular season. They're taking on every team in their division. And then also, just go ahead, throw the Eagles in there too for good measure. Yeah, throw the Chiefs in there for good measure. The Steelers fans are tough, man. They're going to have to... There's no amount of towels that they can wave that's going to help them out. None. Russell Wilson is going to have a throwback. They may have to combine Russell Wilson and Justin Fields into one quarterback if they want to have some success on the back end. I'd be real interested to see. I am real interested to see, you know, how they conclude this season. Speaking of this season, we know the college football season gets started a little earlier. And how about this? EA Sports College Football 25. It's back. Well, specifically this version. You'll be able to play it starting on July 19th. But EA Sports decided to let us all know who's going to be on the front cover. We have Donovan Edwards from Michigan. We have Travis Hunter from Colorado. And we have Quinn Ewers from Texas. The man who is, he's finally going to have to go into the NFL draft next year. And must I remind you, the game is back because the players, they now get paid. Every player had to opt in to participating in the game so they can go out here and make some cash. And someone who's happy about that is Quinn Ewers, who happens to be, quote unquote, one of the cover boys. Quinn Ewers said, man, I'm on the cover of a video game? That's what he told Texas Football.
It's kind of hard to put in words because obviously I grew up in an era of playing this game. It was you know, big for my age group. These guys are just as pumped up as I am. So really cool experience.
Yeah, good for them. Whatever. So we had a bunch of players who decided to opt in to the video game. And Hickey, you said this was a fun game when it was out years ago, right?
Oh, my favorite. By far my favorite video game I've ever played.
Ever?
Ever.
Favorite, any even outside of sports?
I love GTA, than GTA.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
Now, help me out. I have never played Grand Theft Auto. The idea...
Really?
No.
Oh, you're missing out.
I'm more of a Super Mario guy.
Okay.
The idea of Grand Theft Auto, correct me if I'm wrong, is to be a criminal.
Oh, that's the whole motive. Oh, yeah. Oh. That's the entire premise. I guess if you wanted to, you could be a good guy, I guess, in theory. But stealing cars, getting guns,
whoa,
you know, do whatever, you know, anything, whoa, and everything in between there. Yeah, it's okay. It's basically The Purge in a video game.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but okay.
Never seen the movie The Purge?
You never saw Die Hard. Okay.
Touché.
Right. Okay. Now, so when did the Purge come out? 2017?
No, that was like probably 20, I don't know, 2010 if I had a ballpark. No. I mean, there's like three of them that have come out.
No. I think I've heard of it. I don't know what the hell it is. No idea. But I've seen Grand Theft Auto. Thank you for verifying that there's no use in me playing it. If I want to see all of that, I could just walk outside, right?
That's true. Kids at home, don't play Grand Theft Auto. It's not real life.
Yeah, just go outside. Well, don't do Grand Theft Auto. I think we have a problem. So, for instance, Rashee Rice, he took Grand Theft Auto literally, right?
Exactly right. Don't do that, kids. Only in the video game.
Only in the video game. Now I remember why the video games have ratings. What is Grand Theft Auto rated? Mature?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yep. So what does that mean? A 16-year-old can't download it at home?
I don't know how that works.
Oh.
You know, I stopped playing video games since like it's gone electronic where you don't have to go to the actual store to get the disc anymore. I don't know how you verify age.
GameStop. GameStop, is that still a physical store?
Has to be. No, but I think the stock is still booming, or maybe not. Maybe it was, but
I'm going to Google my local GameStop and see if it exists.
I'd be shocked.
Hey, well what makes EA Sports College Football so good?
I think it's more because like you can build your own player.
Okay.
And you can basically build your own career. And so like you can get recruited, you know, you can be a coach as well and do the recruiting, and you can take, you know, Akron and lead them to a national title and beat Alabama and Georgia alike. Like,
be nice.
I think the road and like taking either a no-name player as yourself or a no-name university and like building it up to be this dominant program, I think that's the appeal, because you really can't do that in Madden. You can't really do that in any other sport. I think that's probably the biggest appeal for a lot of people.
Wasn't there a point where you could port over your college player into Madden?
I think you're right.
Am I making that up?
I can't 100% say. I feel like, though, that sounds right.
Yeah, I like Madden, but there came a point in time where it's just like, I got bills to pay. Like, if I had it my way, I think I'd be sitting around all day, but I don't have time. I don't. Like, I enjoyed NBA Jam. I liked the early 2K. I tried playing 2K in the pandemic because I had a little bit more time like the rest of the world, and it was too complicated. Like, I'm trying to shoot free throws, and I'm like, what is this? I'm like, I'm not playing this game, so I'm like, forget it. But yeah, I couldn't tell you. I haven't played Madden in forever. I haven't played 2K in forever. I've never picked up college football. I see that every player that's participating, because of all the new NIL deals, they're going to make a minimum of $600. I am going to assume that, I don't know, Donovan Edwards and Travis Hunter and Quinn Ewers, I think they're going to make a little bit more than that. That has not been disclosed. I haven't found it yet. I don't think it's public. Hickey, what do you think? They're making a couple hundred for the cover? Maybe half?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
What are they making, like 250 for the cover? 300?
I hope, at least.
Have to. I mean, if every player that signs up to be in the game is getting $600. So Joe Schmo in the game, who sits on the bench and doesn't play, opts in and he makes $600. EA Sports has said more than 10,000 college football players have opted into the game. And so if I'm Travis Hunter or Quinn Ewers, Donovan Edwards, I got to be making a few hundred. I don't think they're getting a mil, or maybe they are. It depends on how much promotion they're going to do around the game. The game, again, if you're interested, releases July 19th. We haven't seen this game in what, Hickey, about a decade because of all this NIL stuff?
I think 2014 was the last year that it was that it was out there. So it's been, I think just about a decade. Too long.
So here's the question. You're a busy guy. Are you going to get this game now that it's coming out?
100%. I don't even have a gaming console. I'm going to buy one just to play this game only.
What, PlayStation or Xbox?
Probably PlayStation. I'm trying to do my research on that. I think some of my friends have PlayStation. But
all right. So you're going to play, you can play online at that point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I quit playing online, like, I don't know, the first time it was available.
You didn't want 5-year-olds yelling at you?
No, it wasn't no 5-year-old yelling at me. This was before the headsets, I think. I was playing. I did like Tekken, the fighting game. And matter of fact, it didn't matter which one. Mario Kart, you play Mario Kart, and somebody from Japan waxed me, okay? And then they sent me an email, a video game email afterwards, let me know how bad I was.
Was it in Japanese?
oh, this person was from Japan. It was in English.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's just funnier.
It's like laughing emojis, and I'm like, yo, I'm not doing this. I'm not playing this video game. The people who created the game are from Japan. They whoop my ass. I'm not doing that hickey no more. I'll stay away from the online gaming. But you're right. Now a five-year-old can curse you out from across the street. No thanks.
Smart.
I'll stick to talking about real sports and the business of it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of the business of sports, oh, man, we learned yesterday that the Jacksonville Jaguars are receiving a ridiculous amount of public financing just to renovate their rat trap of a stadium. The Jacksonville Jaguars, for the past several years, they've been teasing the world with London. We can do better with the tax money, I think. We'll talk about that and the decision of the NFL to go international. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.